It's from Luke 10, 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he joined, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The next reading is from John 8, 1 to 9, 1 to 11, sorry. John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to her, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, and though he did not hear, so when they, as though he did not hear, so when they continued answering him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the
Okay, so having lost Dion a little bit there at the end, let us thank you, Dion, for reading those passages. Let's just pick up the last part just to sort of finish it off. So, verse 10 read, "When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" And then the prayer that Dion was praying, we do pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayer for our community and our church. And I pray that you would just bless Brother Len now as he comes and says, "We thank you for each member. Thank you, Lord, that to see the screen so full of people joining us today. Thank you for our church, Lord. It's lovely to see so many joining in, and I pray that you'll bless us and help us to grow and be strong, stronger than ever before through this time. And I pray that you'd speak to us now, and we especially thank you for our children today as well, this all age family service. So bless Lynn, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, church.
Morning, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ray. I'd like to add my welcome to East Hill Baptist First online service, a new community, and exciting times, and also worrying times. My name is Lennox Moore, and I'm one of the elders. Today we're going through what has been termed unprecedented times. This is to say we are facing circumstances that we've never experienced before. The dictionary describes the word unprecedented as never done or known before. The fact that this is not, geographically speaking, a local issue, but a global phenomenon, it is a pandemic. As Christians, we are repeatedly reminded in the scriptures not to be fearful, but to trust in our Heavenly Father. Why? Because in a world of turmoil and instability, he remains the one person who is unchangeable, immovable, constant, and completely trustworthy. He has promised in his word from Deuteronomy 31:6, that we're encouraged to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 91, I beg your pardon, we read these words. Whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. At this time of widespread uncertainty, where many people are fearful, lonely, scared, sick, or in great need, this is a time when the church is able to demonstrate God's love and concern for the community, for whom we are called to serve. A time where we can be used by God to bring hope to those who are forlorn or desperate. Following the government guidelines on social distancing and restrictive movements, there are still so many ways in which we can reach our community. We are called to look out for our neighbours. Our hearts go out to anyone who has contracted the virus and for those who have lost loved ones. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, we're told, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbour as yourself. And the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 2, we're told, each of us should please our neighbours for their good to build them up. And finally, a word from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 10 says, better a neighbour who is nearby than a relative who is far away. This crisis has generally brought out one of two reactions. We're looking at kindness and grace today. And we're looking at two accounts, two stories. One, a story that Jesus told, a parable about the Good Samaritan, and then the woman caught in adultery. So one, Jesus tells us how we're to treat our neighbours. And in the second story, he demonstrates how we're to show kindness and grace and compassion. This crisis has generally brought out one or of two reactions in folk, either incredibly selfish. Here we see people hoarding, or thankfully, and in most cases, incredibly generous. A generous outpouring of love, compassion, and kindness. Fortunately, there is a huge number of people who are willing to come forward and volunteer to serve their neighbours and communities. Every day we hear some wonderful accounts of people putting other people forward before themselves, as we are indeed commanded to do. Let me just share some of the few initiatives that I've heard about just recently. Two young ladies in Battersea dropped cards through their neighbours' doors and on their estate, sharing their contact details, offering a range of tasks that they could help with. Another family did the same in Wimbledon, and in no time at all, they had 50 people wanting to join their group and offer help. You would have seen the outpouring of generosity up and down the country, with folk wanting to help with shopping, collecting of prescriptions. If you're locked down or having to self-isolate and movement is restricted, it is encouraging to see the children reaching out to their grandparents using FaceTime, Zoom, or simply by telephone or email. There are so many ways in which we can be good Samaritans to our neighbours, both near and far. Tear Fund has just recently launched an initiative in a bid to combat the threat of the coronavirus in developing countries by twinning taps. This is a means to provide folks with water, good hygiene, and encouragement to regularly wash their hands. Christians on the left are encouraging their members to be good Samaritans and Twitter angels during this time. The Christians wing of the Labour Party has launched this manifesto for thriving, not just surviving through this COVID-19 season of increased isolation. So today, some years ago, I watched a sketch by the Riding Lights Theatre Company, and it was a modern day version of the Good Samaritan, and it was called London to York. As I was unable to find a copy to read to you today, I've adapted the sketch, and it's now going to take place in Wandsworth. As this is a family service, there'll be opportunities for the children and you, the congregation, to join in. There'll be prompt cards on the screen with the words written in red and a loudspeaker symbol. Okay, so our story this morning takes place in Wandsworth. So remember the prompt cards that you'll be seeing, and we've got a few sound effects to help you along, but we'll begin our reading, The Good Samaritan of Wandsworth. A young man was going down from Wandsworth to Putney. As he walked along Putney Bridge Road, he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him very badly injured. An RE teacher called Mr. Goody happened to be going down the same road. But when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Sometime later, a young lady came along. She happened to be the head girl from the local grammar school. She was also the chairperson for the school's Christian Union. But when she came to the place and saw him, she too passed by on the other side. But a young student who recently came to this country as an asylum seeker, since arriving in the UK, however, he has felt lonely as he expected to be welcomed, but he was bullied. He has also found it very difficult to make friends, as he never felt welcomed. Yet when he came to where the young man was, he saw him, took pity on him. And then put him on his own scooter and took him to the Premier Inn at Southside and took care of him. The next day, he took out all of his pocket money and gave it to the receptionist. "Look after him," he said, "and I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by robbers? The expert of the law replied, "The one who looks after him." So now at this stage, if we was at church, we would point to each other and we would say, "Go and do likewise." Can I ask you to do that? Go and do likewise.
Go and do the same.
Excellent. And now, some years ago in the 60s, there was a group called the Beatles, And this was their take on what we need to do. Can we sing this together? All we need is love. Now, Good Samaritans come in all shapes and sizes. Take a look at these we've got for you. And now I'm just going to share a few lessons that can be learned from these two stories. So, first of all, the Good Samaritan was willing to get involved, to get his hands dirty at work. He went out of his way and helped a stranger. He could have said to himself, I give to charity, I'll do my bit. But he didn't. He not only had compassion, he acted on it. He got involved. There are verses in the Bible, in 1 John, which talks about if we see our brother in need and we lock up our bowels of compassion, then where is the love of God within us? So when we see people that need help, it is our duty and a joy to get involved and to help. I know it's difficult times now with the virus and so on, but there are other ways in which we can be of help. He ignored the fact that he was not a fellow Samaritan, even though he knew he could be considered as being a despised Samaritan. He rose above such feelings and cared for his fellow human being. Lastly, the Good Samaritan was incredibly generous. He didn't know how long the injured man would have to stay in the hotel. The text said that the attack left him half dead. The length of stay or total cost was not important, only the well-being of the stranger. He did not just stop and administer first aid, but went above and beyond, generously arranging to foot the bill, no matter what the cost. And next we'll look at a few lessons that we can learn from the woman taking adultery. In this account, we see Jesus' gracious treatment of this woman. He did not condone her sin. He, unlike the Pharisees, did not seek to humiliate her. We know the Pharisees were seeking to trap him in both occasions by trying to get Jesus to undermine the law of Moses in favor of the Romans or vice versa. But instead of answering the question, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, this is culturally significant. The move that Jesus made in writing on the ground was symbolic, well known in those times, signifying an unwillingness to deal with the matter in hand. Perfectly understanding the message, the Pharisees continued to pester Jesus anyway. So he looked up, said those famous words, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Verse 7. He then went back to writing on the ground, sending a clear message that the conversation was over, the matter was solved. Everyone who had listened to him walked away. In doing so, Jesus sent two messages to those present. We've all sinned. There's no righteous, no, not one. We do not have the right to determine another person's consequences for sin. Jesus took the authority away from the Pharisees. In other words, those without sin had the right to verbally accuse and condemn her, as they had attempted. Only they were not without sin, which of course none of us are. Jesus also, although he alone had the right to judge and condemn, but being the loving, caring Saviour that he is, he did not condemn, but opened the door for repentance and forgiveness, as he does for each of us. Finally, when we repent, we are to avoid repeating that sin. So as he encouraged her to go her way and to change her life. So Jesus did not sugarcoat the woman's actions, but called sin what it was and encouraged her to leave that way of living. Jesus demonstrated loving compassion, grace and unconditional love. The offer of a fresh start. She met acceptance and grace, kindness and understanding. We too are encouraged to be Christ-like and to follow the example that Jesus gives. In Luke 19, verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." He has commissioned us to partner with him. He sent us out to go and make disciples. The words of the song, "I'm accepted and I'm forgiven," capture something of what that lady must have felt. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I'm fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation. I'm loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Saviour and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. So as we've been encouraged to go and do likewise, I'm going to invite you once again to join the Beatles in singing "All We Need Is Love."
Okay.
Well, just finishing off, Pastor Ray. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, we read this. "But if someone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in that person?" So if we consider the question, "Who is my neighbor?" we have a prayer for lockdown. And it's based on the words from John 20, verse 19. "The doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked." Ever-present God, be with us in our isolation. Be close to us in our distancing. Be healing in our sickness. Be joy in our sadness. Be light in our darkness. Be wisdom in our confusion. Be all that's familiar when all is unfamiliar. That when we are able to reopen the doors, we may do so with the zeal of Pentecost. Inhabit our communities and speak your goodness to an emerging world. For Jesus' sake, amen.